Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you, and I hope that you are having a great day today, certainly in the circumstances in which you find yourself. Hope that you're having a great day emotionally, just where you are in your life, and most of all spiritually, in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord, that you're in fellowship with Him, that you're sensing His nearness, that you're sensing His hand working in your life. And it's good to be with you as we have this time with our Lord. It's a beautiful day here. So thankful for this time. I look forward to it each week, and I hope it's as much of a blessing for you as it is for me. And you know, the best part is that not only do we get to be together, but we get to be with the Lord. I get to be with Him here as I film this, and you get to be with Him at whatever point in time it is that you watch and listen to this. And since each of us is with our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the beautiful day that You've given to us. And most of all, O God, for Your eternal love for us, the salvation to which You have brought us. Father, Your eternal goodness and faithfulness, Father, Your loving kindness. Father, we're thankful that You want us to know You, that You've given us Your Word. Father, that You've sent Your Spirit to interpret Your Word and to speak to us through it. And Father, we come here today, Lord, because we want to know You. We want to grow in our relationship with You. Father, we want to experience You. Father, be with us. Speak to us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be with our Lord, who has given us so many reasons to have joy and to praise Him and to thank Him. But I also know many times we struggle to do that as we look at the circumstances in our world and possibly even the circumstances in our lives. Sometimes we struggle to give thanks and give praise unto God. And that presents a problem. I mean, obviously, first of all, God is worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving. But also, not praising God and thanking Him robs us of seeing and experiencing the joy that God has for us. Because many times we experience that joy when we stop and we consider what God has done and begin to praise Him for it. And frankly, it also robs us of our ability to trust God. Because we don't stop and think and meditate, and as a result of that, praise and thank God for what He has done up to this point, it makes it more difficult for us to praise Him going forward. And we see this driven home for us as we open God's Word to Psalm 107. And Psalm 107 begins with this wonderful call to thanksgiving and praise and worship of our Lord. You think about what we read in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. You stop and you think of some of the key areas that we have to thank God and to praise Him for. And this 107th Psalm helps remind us of some of those areas. Now, to be sure, it's a rather long Psalm, so we can only get just a flavor of it, if you will. But we can see enough of it, not only to understand what the Psalm is trying to tell us, but even more importantly, to live out the wonderful truths. When we think about all the reasons to praise and thank God, even in days such as these, even in circumstances such as we find ourselves in, we find so many reasons to thank Him. You think about what we see as far as reasons to praise and thank our Lord. We see, first of all, that God saves us. Think about what we see in verses 2 through 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Certainly describing God's work with the nation of Israel, calling them as His people, redeeming them. Certainly that's the primary interpretation. But does it not describe the wonderful work of salvation He does for us? You think about it, we too were far away from God, spiritually far away from God, alienated from God, in fact. Not only far away from Him, but unable to come close to Him. And you think about the fact that just as Israel was under a great adversary, that being Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, so we are under a great adversary, that is Satan, the ruler of this age. Just as Pharaoh and Egypt represent Satan and the world, that is what we, in fact, were under before Jesus Christ came and brought us unto Himself. And yet you think about this wonderful salvation to which he has called us. How God sent his only begotten Son to live and die for us. And then God sent his Spirit to bring us to faith, to in fact cause us to be born again. You think about this wonderful salvation to which he has called us. We can never praise or thank him enough. And when we stop and we think about the fact that God has gone to such great lengths to save us, how can we not praise him now, and how can we not trust him going forward? And so as we stop and think about reasons to praise and thank God, even in days like these, even in circumstances such as ours, we're reminded of the fact that God saves us. Even when we were far away, even when we were under bondage to a strong adversary, he saves us. But look what else. He blesses us. You know, just like when we look at this psalm, we see the multiple ways in which God blessed his people. We're reminded of the wonderful ways in which he has blessed us. You think about what we see in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. Probably the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. But what did God do in that time? God met their every need. You think about what we see in the last part of verse 6 on through verse 7. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. And not only that, but he went beyond just meeting their physical needs. But notice as well, verse 9, he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Certainly he fed them physically. Certainly he provided them with physical water. But the allusion there is not just, or not with an I, but the way what he is alluding to there with an A, what he's alluding to is not only did he meet their physical needs, but he met their deep spiritual needs. You think about the fact that he met the needs of their souls. You think about what that says about us. And you think about his work in your life. Certainly he meets our physical needs, but does he not also meet our deepest emotional and spiritual needs? You think about what we see if we drop down to verses 36 through 38. And there he makes the hungry to dwell so they may establish an inhabited city. And sow plants, sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them and they multiply greatly. And he does not let their cattle decrease. Talking about his blessing upon them as a nation. You know, what a wonderful position of being blessed by God. And yet as we're here, this, for me, it's late morning. I'm having to film this one a little bit early today. I have some commitments this afternoon. But whether it's me this morning or whether it's you at whatever time of the day that you're watching this, you think about the way in which he blesses us. You know, Ephesians 1:3 talks about how he has blessed us in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, when I was younger, I thought about the fact, well, he's talking about how we have blessings up there. You know, blessings up there in contrast to blessings or the lack of blessings down here. But the idea is not, you know, so much geographic. He's talking there about the source of blessings. From the very throne of heaven itself, we are in fact blessed by God. He is the source of all of our blessings. And you think again about how God has blessed you. Yes, with the physical, you know, the blessing with the physical provision, but also the filling of your soul. What a reason to praise and to thank our God. He pours out his blessings upon us. And what's the old song, Count Your Blessings? You take a moment just to stop and think about all the ways that God has blessed you. What a reason to praise him. And out of that praising comes the ability to trust him going forward. But we also see, number three, God restores us. You know, unfortunately, there are times when we blow it. We commit sin. We step out of God's way. We fail to live and walk in faith, concoct our own schemes, whatever the case may be. Unfortunately, Israel did this as well. We see this again as we continue to look at this psalm. You think about what we read in the very first part of verse 11. Because they had rebelled against the words of God. You study the wilderness wanderings, you see how time after time they griped and grumbled against God. You think of the first part of verse 17. fools because of their rebellious way. And make no mistake, God disciplines his children when they sin against him, when they don't deal with it. You think about what we see in verse 10. There are those who dwelt in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. You think about verse 12. Therefore he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled and there was none to help. You think of verses 17 through 18. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. God obviously chastens his people when they sin against him. But you also stop and think about what God does when they cry out to him in confession and repentance and cry out to him for deliverance. Well, look at verses 13 and 14. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. You think about what we read in verses 19 and 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God wonderfully restored them. You think about, what does God do when we cry out to him? Well, you know, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, unfortunately, many times we blow it. And yes, if we don't deal with it soon enough, God will in fact begin to increasingly apply leverage to get our attention. But when we confess, there is forgiveness, there is cleansing, there is in fact restoration. What a God we have. What a God who's worthy of our praise. What a God who's worthy of our praise. How worthy is he of our trust. What a God we have. We can praise him. Look what else we see. We see the number four, God protects us. Now obviously we see this throughout this psalm, but I simply want to draw out a couple of ways that we see here. We see this protection of God in the affairs of everyday life. You know, one of the most dangerous jobs in the ancient world was that of sailing. Not recreational sailing, but remember, that's how they would go out to fish, and certainly how they would, in fact, transport goods and the dangerous work that they had. And you think about how it's described in verses 23 through 27. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. You know, just reading that, I get seasick. You're talking about the danger and just the reality of life on the sea, especially in stormy or choppy seas, rolling waves. And yet God protected them. Look at verses 28 and 29. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so the waves of the sea were hushed. God's wonderful protection. You know, as we go through our everyday lives, we can in fact seek and receive and experience God's protection, not just in the physical aspect, but relationally, financially, we can trust him. And he will protect us unto his will. And he'll use whatever, you know, if he allows circumstances in our life, he will use those to glorify his name. But we always have his protection in the storm, through the storm, sometimes by the storm. But God protects us. We have his wonderful protection. Nothing can touch us outside of his will. And he will protect us unto his will. Even if his will is, in the most dramatic sense, to call us home, we are protected all the way until we're in his presence. What a wonderful God we have. We can trust his protection. Yes, in the affairs of everyday life. But you know something even more frightening than that? And that is the attacks of the enemy. Look at verses 39 through 43. When they were diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high from affliction. He makes his families like a flock. The upright see it and are glad. but all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Yes, as we read in 1 Peter, our enemy is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But we have someone who is far greater than that lion, one that we can trust in all things at all times, who is greater even than Satan, and we can trust him. We have his protection. You know, what a God we have. No wonder the psalmist began this psalm by saying, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." We have a God who's worthy of our praise. He saves us, he blesses us, he restores us, he protects us. What a God we have to praise. What a God we have to trust. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for all these ways, O God, that you have worked in our life, from salvation, O God, to eternity to come. O God, you have, you are, and you forever will be good. And Father, we praise you, we thank you. And O God, because we can see how worthy of our praise you are, we can trust you. Lord, be with everyone who's watching this today. Father, let them know your nearness and your presence. Father, whatever they're going through, may they know your faithfulness, your goodness, your eternal love for them. May they trust you. May they see you work. We pray, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's been good to be with you in God's Word. And again, I hope that this is a blessing to you and it helps you in your walk, your relationship, in your day. And I hope as you go through your day that you have a wonderful day in the Lord.